أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Now we will look at the tafsir of Surah Al-Baqarah, ayahs 28 to 33. Looking back at the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He does not feel shy in even giving an example of such a small creature, someone stated in relation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala feeling shy from a hadith where it is mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala feels shy to turn back any person who raises his hand and asks from him. What an amazing matter it is that He is the Master, Creator, and He feels shy in rejecting or turning back a person without bestowing what the person asks from him. While the person doesn't feel shy in disobeying commands of Allah, this is about haya, or feeling shy. Only those with knowledge understand these similitudes or examples. For one with knowledge, even a speck is a universe. Whether a mosquito or anything else small like it. But one who is ignorant and a fasiq, for them, even the entire universe is a speck. For one who wants to gain hidayah, for them, an example of a mosquito is enough for them. They can see many signs, even in that mosquito. But one who does not want to gain hidayah, there are so many signs in this universe. Even if they see them clearly, they do not gain hidayah. And whoever does not gain guidance, then these are the people who broke their covenant with Allah and cut off ties of kinship. This is called fasad, or corruption. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from being ones who spread corruption. Now, in the next few ayahs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions His blessings upon mankind. وَكَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, how do you deny Allah? It can be ingratitude, because kufr or disbelief is only ingratitude. How can you even think of being ungrateful to Allah? وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا And while you were dead. How were we all dead? Which stage is being referred here? Now we are not dead, but when we were in عَالِمِ أَرْوَى we were dead. We had no life. فَأَحْيَاكُمْ Then gave life to you, brought you to life. He gave you a body, sent you into this world, giving us life. ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ Then again, He will give us death. In the past, we were dead. Then He gave life to us. Now what is in our future? Death. So what is between the two deaths? Our life in this world, so short. Both ends have death. ثُمَّ يُحْيِيكُمْ Then we will not just stay dead. Because if we remain dead, then we would be free. There will be no accountability. No. Then He will bring us back to life. ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ Then to Him you will be returned. In this short ayah, we learn the complete story of man, from the beginning to the end. So many, many favors of Allah upon mankind. If we cannot contemplate about this universe, if we cannot contemplate about the example of the mosquito, and nor about other signs of Allah, then, in the least, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to look at our own origin Mankind, look at your own selves, how you came into this world. The first part of Adha Ayah mentions the special favor upon the self of mankind. We were not even alive. We were a lifeless speck. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us life in form of a soul. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made all the souls, then took a covenant from all the souls we just learned about called Ahdi Alast. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed all the souls in a place wherever they were kept. Then whoever's appointed time came to come into this world, and as a structure of a new human is formed in the womb of a mother, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala joins the soul with that body structure while still in the womb. فَأَحْيَاكُمْ This is, He gave you life. This is the time period of the soul where it is sent into the world to be tested. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave man hands, feet, ears, eyes. He gave all these to be used as tools and to see how man uses them in this testing period, so he can know what we do with them, so he can see our worth. What is your worth? Prove it. But this is not forever, as there is a fixed time period for a test. There is a start time and an end time for the test. And if the end time is indicated by a bell ring, this ringing of bell is the time of death for each person. ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ Then he will give you death. Death does not mean an end or perishing. Death is a transfer or move from this life to a different world, a stage of partial consciousness in between this world and the permanent life. We think death is an end of everything. No, not an end. And we think one dead has no consciousness. As we see one sleeping or faint, do we call them dead? No. Death is when there is no consciousness. There is no body for the soul. In this in-between time, man has a partial consciousness, and he is not totally unconscious. And this is what is called the life of barzakh. And we have to have faith in this as believers. When body and soul are separated, it is called death. And when the body and the soul are joined, it is called life. So they are separated in death. Now this is the period of life in barzakh. The life in this world ends, eyes close here, and the eyes open into that other world. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The grave can be a garden from heaven or a pit from hell." That means the person can feel there and can feel both, either punishment or rewards, based on actions in this life. So therefore, it doesn't say, كُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا فَخَلَقْنَاكُمْ You were dead and we created you. But it is said, ثُمَّ أَحْيَاكُمْ ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ Then gave life to you, then gave death to you. ثُمَّ يُحْيِيكُمْ Then he will give life to you again. Then what life is this? On the day of Qiyamah, when all the mankind will be resurrected, the disbelievers deny this life. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put the souls back into their bodies, then everyone will be brought back to life again. So death is a transfer, which is not an end. After that will be another life. So living and dying and living and dying are stages of a man. And there was a time, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, in Surah Al-Dahr, هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينٌ مِّنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. When there was a time when insan or man was nothing. That is also called death, when the person was with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the form of a soul. These are such realities that even a disbeliever sees in his life. He sees birth and death, sometimes close relations or friends. They go and bury them underground. Every now and then, witness it and know that one day he too will be in the list of those dead. Many scientists, doctors, healers have invented medicines to treat illnesses, but no one could invent a treatment against death. This ayah warns us, ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. You have to return back. So when a person has to go back and show his face wherever they are going, they prepare for it. They make arrangements to save their face, because if know that they will be questioned, then they will worry and prepare for it. This is a warning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prepare yourself, because you have to stand and meet him. So much of mankind is in the barzakh from so long ago, from time of Adam alayhi salam. Even their bones have decayed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then I will raise them up again, and there will be another life. Then, after the next life, there is no death. And he does not say that death after it. We must contemplate on our stages. We went through one death already, and another death is coming. Then we will get another life, which is eternal. We still have to pass through these stages. This is our story, and we must learn and gain true perspective. What should we take from here? Do we want to save ourselves from disgrace on the day of Qiyamah? Do we have the actions, then when إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ we can stand with respect and dignity? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, and we should realize, if we look at our beginning to end, did we have any say or opinion or the ability to choose in anything? No. Did we have a choice in the ahyakum, to be born on a certain date, or a year, or a time period? No. ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ. Do we have a say in this, when we die? No. ثُمَّ يُحْيِيكُمْ. Then he will give us life. Will we have any say in that resurrection? No. That day, people will say, who raised us up from our graves? Because they did not want to be raised up again. The kafir or disbeliever that day will say, Ya laytani kuntu turaba. I wish I was dust. They did not want to be raised up again. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make them stand up again. ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. تُرْجَعُونَ is a word in passive tense. So to him, you are to be returned, whether you want it or not. You will not be asked, "Do you want to go back?" No, you will be returned. Where are we allowed to choose? We did not come into this world with our will, nor leave it according to our will. So why the arrogance? Why don't you submit? Why don't you listen and obey? We came into this world with His will, and we will leave it with His will. Then what is left? Only 50, 60, or 70 years of this life? He gave us freedom for this time. If we look at every stage of our creation, we do not have our will in anything. Then we must let go of our ego and following our own desires. This is our test. When we are given this freedom, do we, with our free will, submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And do we give up our own will? And all what He did for us, we were dead and He gave us life. Then you should submit to Him as He gave us this life. But sadly, mankind stands up arrogantly against Him. We know that our death is not in our hands, and He will take us back when it is His will. This is just a small display of the power and authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of the creation are under the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever He wants, He can raise them up again. He can give death to us and call us back. And then whenever He wants, He will make us stand up. So we see a small glimpse of His power. So why not submit to Him? هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا He created for you whatever is in the earth. For you, لَكُمْ We are so special. We didn't know that. If we circle لَكُمْ For example, if our husband tells us, I brought this just for you, we would be so happy. This gift is just for you, if someone tells us. It would make us so happy if any person tells us this. But did we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, لَكُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا Not one thing or two things, but everything that is on the earth is especially for you. Not for the lion, not for the monkey, cheetah or deers, but for you, mankind. So what is our condition? When we are asked, who gave you whatever you have? We say, my husband gave it to me. Or, who gave this to you? We say, my parents. Or, this is for my friend. And when asked, what did Allah give you? We say, oh, He gave us everything. Do we just say it with our tongues, but without any true gratitude in our hearts? As we show to our husbands, parents, or friends, when they give us something, we recognize the favors of people, that this was given by so-and-so, that was given by so-and-so. We feel obliged for whatever anyone gives us. While Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I gave you everything. خَلَقَ made it لَكُمْ for you. They were all created for you. Then how much gratitude should we have in our hearts for the Rabb who gave us all these? In the first ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights His special favors that He bestowed on us. He gave us an existence. Then here, He reminds us of all the things he created for us. If we look at the wind, the water, sun, moon, and things of the earth, vegetations, animals, birds, soil, leaves, rocks, mountains, seas, springs, and all other things we cannot name, whatever is in the earth, he made them for us. But we are for Allah. We are not made for these things. Since we have become slaves of these things, as we are slaves of our homes, our jobs, serving them 24/7, or slaves of cars, taking care of cars, all our days are spent serving all other things. It doesn't seem like that they are for us, but the other way around. We are for them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the world he set up is for us. You are not for the world. You mankind are for me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, وَمَا خَلَقْنَا الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونِ. And not we created the jinn and mankind, but except that they worship Allah. So they worship Him. Number two, so you were not created, so you start serving them, nor that your entire life is dedicated to them. Rather, they were created for you, so they serve you, man. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create the sun for mankind, water for use of mankind, winds? Who do they flow for? Mankind. Why does it rain? For mankind. The trees, the grass, vegetation, all created for man's use. Also, the change in seasons for us, for mankind. But mankind is so ungrateful and thankless. We complain of other people of being mean and selfish. We look at others. Rather, we should look at our own selves. We are so ungrateful to our Creator. He made the flowers to bloom for us, beautiful spring weather for us, the entire system of this world. He created all of it for us. But what are we doing? We should be submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with humility, and gratitude should be in our hearts for all his favors. Instead, man objects and questions and says why or what. Should we dare say anything like this to our Creator, let alone question him? We shouldn't dare open our mouth saying such things against him, one who created everything in this world for us. We should make a list of all the blessings on this earth. We cannot say, what benefit is that thing for us? Everything in this world is either directly or indirectly serving us, mankind. Even an earthworm, how is that serving us? Sometimes they come out when it rains. Do they serve us? What it does, it moves around underground, so air circulates in the soil and plants can grow. We never thought that even this earthworm serves us. We benefit from the earthworm when the soil is enriched, and from this soil, we grow our crops that we consume. What about the mountains? These mountains keep the earth stable. If there were no mountains, the land would shake. So their placement makes the land stable. and we walk about comfortably and live upon it. So ultimately, it is serving us. The fish, the birds, are for our use. Even a snake, its poison is used for certain medications. So this is serving us indirectly. Everything in this world is interlinked. If we look at the cycles of every creation, in the end, it is serving us. Subhanallah, this is our Rabb. We cannot properly give thanks to Him. مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. For all that is in the earth for us. We cannot even count what He made for us. If we cannot be truly grateful to Him, then how can we worship Him? Then, istawa ila sama'i. When He made the earth and put everything in it for us, then He turned to the heavens and then divided it in seven heavens. فَسَوَّاهُنَّ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ. So when He made the earth, He turned to the heavens. It is possible that certain stages remained in completion of earth, but then He made the sky and completed the stages after the completion of the earth. We cannot know. This is not something science has explored yet. But we have faith in this because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us. Thumma means after that, then completion of the skies. We cannot say this is the entire universe. It could be just our galaxy with seven levels or heights. We just know that there are seven. Istamawat means heights or levels. In a hadith, we learn that between two levels of heavens, the distance is of 500 years. They are so distant, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made seven of them. وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. Subhanallah. And after making them, He did not become heedless of them. Na'udhu billah, as mushrikeen say, that so-and-so made it and then left it, and this universe is a play. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them and did not forget about them. This is not like a football player who kicks the ball and he doesn't know where it went, nor like a child who plays with toys and then throws them on the side, not knowing where they left them. He does not forget. He states, وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَ مَا كُنْتُمْ. And He is with you wherever you are. وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. His knowledge encompasses everything. He knows and He sees everything. He is watching us. He hears all of us. He is aware of our every condition. What is inside us and what is outside. بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. We cannot truly define this. We can just say it means everything. If we say right about all that is included in بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ, we would not be able to do it because our intellect and understanding is so limited and we cannot know truly what is included in بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Do we know what is beyond the stars or what is deep inside the earth? Every day, new species are being discovered. For example, new types of fish or such and such creature. So many things we still do not know about. Discoveries keep happening every day. So we cannot say what else Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. He knows about it. So only thing we can say is, وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. This is our only salvation. We should only say, O Allah, you have complete knowledge of everything, and you know everything, and He is with everyone with His knowledge. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us those who recognize Him and be among those who are grateful for His blessings. And may Allah make us of those who remember all His favors upon us. And may Allah not make us among those who forget His blessings. Mankind has a big worth, but mankind doesn't even realize it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us such a high status. Only if we could recognize it. Only if we could fulfill the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely, as He placed it upon us. We do not fulfill them. We learn about the favors of Allah upon mankind. And now we learn about the favors upon our first parent, Adam alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him Khalifa. He taught him names of everything in this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him knowledge. He had the angels bow to him. He was kept in Jannah. Then he was sent on earth as a deputy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon him great blessings. So what should have been that all his offspring be grateful to the blessings bestowed upon him? Because mankind was honored, so man should obey Allah and safeguard from disbelief. This story is mentioned 7 times in the Quran, the story of Adam and Iblis. Every time the story is narrated, it is done with a different aspect or a different angle. So every time we learn about him, we get some additional information. But why is this story repeated so many times? We see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to remind us, what He wants us to learn from Adam alayhi salam. The story is mentioned 6 times in Meccan surahs and once in the Madani surah, which is here. So what is being reinforced every time? What is the objective? Because if something is mentioned 7 times, there must be an objective. The story of Adam is mentioned after every few juz'ah. وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ, and when said your Rabb. Who is being addressed with رَبُّكَ? Who did the revelation came to first? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is being told. When your Rabb said, this is a matter from long ago. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, remember it. There was a time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had said, to whom? Lil malaikati. The angels. We can put what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in inverted commas here. Inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Indeed, I am making a refrigerant, a viceroy, or a deputy upon the earth. Now who does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say it to? Who are there? The angels. So there were angels there before mankind. At that time, there was no man. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing the angels of His plan. I am to make in the earth a Khalifa, as the earth was already there. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell the angels? because all the work that the angels would have to do in this regard, so they are being informed. As angels have responsibilities in the system of the universe and in the system of earth, so they are given information. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them that I am making a khalifa upon the earth. What does khalifa mean? It's a stable position, one who fulfills the rights of a khalifa. A khalifa has certain rights, so he can fulfill his obligations. So the angels are being informed that this new creation will have certain authorities or rights. So what is a khalifa? This is coming a one person after another. For example, as a president, when he is not there, who takes charge? Vice president. And if a principal of a school is not there, then the vice principal takes the charge. So upon the earth. So why is the khalifa needed on earth? He is appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as his deputy, who will rule according to the commands of Allah and implement them. He will convey this to other mankind, and he will worship Allah on this earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give this deputy certain amount of authority, and he will use it to implement the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this earth. He will obey Allah in every field of life. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us how mankind should live on earth as a khalifa on earth, and he taught us how to submit our desires, our will and thinking, and our tongue to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made and sent mankind for this work and sent him to this earth not to be kept in Jannah, but made us for this earth and for a specific purpose. The work was of being a khalifa. Another meaning is the coming of one generation after another, or a nation. Another meaning is learned from the fact that before the creation of mankind, the jinn used to live upon earth, who spread a lot of corruption upon earth. This is before the creation of Adam. So jinns rule the earth. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created mankind. So after jinn, Allah created mankind. So in the sense of coming one after another, first were the jinn and now mankind. It is also said that khalifa means inhabiting the earth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created mankind to inhabit this earth. So what happened to jinn? They are not khalifa, and they were made to run off to the mountains and deserted places. In one narration by Abdullah ibn Ammar, he stated that the jinn were present on earth 2,000 years before the creation of Adam alayhi salam. The angels were surprised at the creation of Adam. They did not object or complain about his creation, but to understand the wisdom in creation of Adam. If we look at what they said, أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are you going to make one who will spread corruption on earth and shed blood and kill? Why did the angel say this? How did they know that man will kill? The first reason is because when a creation is given an authority and power and has thinking and intellect and has choice to do good or bad, it is highly likely that they will do bad. The second reason is that the angel said, while even Adam wasn't created yet, this is because the jinn did the same aforetime, as they were a creation with the free will and had the choice to do good or bad. So they said mankind will probably do the same. And the angel said, we glorify you with your praises and sanctify you.